Oh, hello everybody. It's been a while since I've done this. Welcome. I'm glad everybody's here. My name is Mary Ann, and I am a very, very grateful recovering alcoholic. Actually, tonight, I said a little prayer, which I usually do, and I always ask God to take my tongue. I didn't want to harp too much on, you know, way back when, you know, when I was in diapers and all that good stuff. I wanted to focus more on how much I've grown, but I will discuss what got me here, that's for sure. I was listening to the first time that I came into Pal Talk and I spoke. I found that file and I was listening to it and how I was speaking about you know, my parents and how I grew up, and you know, a lot of my family, they owned bars and hotels, and you know, I will never get rid of those thoughts. They are very comforting thoughts. I mean, that's part of my childhood. I mean, they are those thoughts, even though surrounded by alcohol, are still my past, a lot of good. You know, a lot of good memories are there, and a lot of comforting memories. You know, there was definitely a lot of unfortunates that happened. You know, I had a sister that passed away. She was diagnosed with osteogenic sarcoma at 16, and I think that just tore my parents apart. And in the 70s, cancer was not a pretty thing to have, because doctors were just brutal and chemotherapy was horrible. And I was very, very young. I always believed in God. Why, I don't know. I just, even before I even entered a church, and my parents were not churchgoers, but for some reason I always had a very close contact with God. And he was my parents, because my parents were never there. I just, even though I was around the alcohol, I never got into drinking until way later in life. I was very competitive. I mean, even as a teenager, for the times I did drink, I always had to drink the most, just because everybody else was doing that. I don't think it was because I needed the drink at that point. It was just my nature no matter what I did, I had to be the best at it. And, you know, gymnastics, everything. It just didn't matter. As life started, you know, knocking me around, even in my 20s, you know, I had a child in my 20s. I'll go back a little bit. I met a man when I was 16, and he was 39, so you guys can put a label on him. You know, I have a 16-year-old son now. He's going to be 17, and I'm telling you, if some 39-year-old woman tried to walk into my house... I don't know. I don't think that's going to work out too well. I might be seeing the inside of Otsego County again, and Jane will be, you know, me and her will be having that spiritual AA face-to-face all over again. But, you know, I think back at some of the stuff, and it's just amazing how, you know, certain things that, you know, have just led me to where I am, and how naive. I'm just so blessed to have this program in my life, because I didn't pick up something growing up, and I look back, and I definitely did a lot of inventory, and I still do. I look back, and I missed something. I missed somewhere along the line where other people pick up, you know, the common sense that you need in life. I didn't get. I missed it somewhere. And where, you know, where I'm supposed to look at, you know, not trying to justify breaking the law or trying to put that square peg in the round hole, because that's what I want and that's what I need, and that spontaneous behavior that I have. And it was kind of, I don't know why, I just never grew out of that. That almost like that toddler mentality. And you know, I still have it, and I see it now, but it's there, and I think it'll always be there because it was with me for so long. And so I stay very aware of it. I just did not pick up, you know, the light never went on. To know, you know, when it's wrong, just you don't do it. You don't try to go try to make it right. Because I want to make it right. And then if it's wrong, I, you know, I'm supposed to let my emotions trample all over it and then let my emotions, you know, guide me and make my decisions for me. Because I know no matter what happens, if I allow my emotions to make my decisions, I'm going to wind up in a hell of a mess. So anyway, you know, my family, you know, upper middle class, they both worked. I had both parents in the house. There was five brothers and sisters. Well, there was five of us, and they all slowly passed away. There's nobody left but me. I do still have a brother, but unfortunately, he is still drinking and drugging. I didn't see him for like 15 years after my mother passed, and we just wound up. He wound up finding me just this year, and thank God I had this program under my belt long enough, and I was working this program, and I'm in it. You know, I live this program. Otherwise, I know that meeting would have definitely wound up a catastrophe. It would have sent me sideways, and I would be a mess right now. I'd be off running tangents somewhere, or probably would have wound up in trouble with him. Who knows? It's unfortunate because I can see it from the other side now. I see where I was. I see the pain. I see the misery. I see that gerbil wheel, and you know how it blinds you. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's so crazy. Life is crazy. I definitely wanted to focus on how far I've come tonight because you know. I just cannot believe, you know, when you finally get this program and you're living it, and how simple it is. It really is simple. How it just changes your life completely, and every aspect of your life. I mean, every inch of your life gets changed. Because you see every inch of your life differently. I mean, I look back on some of the crazy stuff I did and the relationships that I was in, you know, the 39-year-old. I mean, no 16-year-old in their right mind does stuff like that. I mean, I was young, I was stupid, but come on, something in me should have said it was wrong, I think. But I didn't have it. I didn't have those tools. I didn't have the tools to think that way. Somewhere along the line, I didn't get them. Then after that was over, then I wound up with somebody else, you know, that was just totally opposite. I wound up with a hillbilly that didn't even know how to read or write, and I barely knew what running water was. And I wound up taking that person to the big city, and next thing you know, they were hooked on crack, and I wound up in another nightmare. But, you know, totally clueless to how in the world I wound up in this mess. I'm still not really drinking. I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm dibble-dabbling, you know, somebody else. I'm experimenting with drugs, and it just wasn't my cup of tea in any of this stuff. It just wasn't. Even drinking, it really wasn't my cup of tea yet, none of that stuff. But I'm always around it, and I'm always in the middle of these headaches and people hurting me and stealing from me and all this other nonsense and all these people. I'm surrounded by it, and I don't understand why. And the light's not on. The light's not on for me that, you know, this is who I am, and I'm going through the motion. I'm living it, and it's me. It's the decisions I'm making. It's the decisions I'm making in my life. And I just didn't, I'm still clueless, still very clueless to, I'm I'm running parallel. Just because I'm not picking up the drink doesn't mean I don't have all of those isms. And, you know, I look back now and, you know, doing that self-inventory and working and going deeper than the drink has really shown me how I got here. How I really got to pick up that drink and how I abused it. Because I was abusing myself in everything I was doing, in the situations I was putting myself in the spontaneous behavior, in the addictive behavior I had. I you know, just the overcompensating on everything. It was right there. Everything was extreme for me, right down to my relationships, to my emotions, to my thinking, to, you know, it was all there. Definitely. I think, you know, we fellow alcoholics know each other. We know each other from a mile away. It's like this hidden little stamp on our soul or something. And whether we're drinking or not, we know each other. We totally know each other. We're going to hook up one way or another. And whether we're sober or drinking, we still hook up. We just tend to gravitate. And it's just our character trait. And that's a good thing, though. It is a good thing. I can look back at my life today, and I don't really have any regrets. I'm a lot wiser. I'm a lot wiser for a lot of it. What's really amazing to me, though, is even as a small child with a mother that was so hateful, because she did, she hated me. She told me that since day one. She hated me. And, you know, she let me know that with no uncertain terms that she did. She hated me. She wished I was never born, and you know, she should have killed me from day one. But I loved my mother, and I knew right from day one that that was her issue. That was her problem. And don't ask me where I got that from. I don't know. I really don't. So I've always had a sense of spirituality to some degree, and that sense of perception where, you know, that's somebody else's problem. I don't know where I got that. I really don't. And I think that was the way I survived, possibly. And I'm glad I have that today. I think that has helped me embrace this program even more and really, really get it. And it's helped me along. But, you know, as life got a little harder for me and I started getting a little, you know, tougher knocks, you know, in my late 20s, I had a child, or in my mid-20s, I had a child kidnapped. And that devastated me. At that time, it was my only child. And to have my sense of worth on this earth ripped from me just devastated me. I just... But, you know, I even tried to pick up a drink, and I couldn't do it. Just, I had to go find my son. I had to do everything it took to find my son. And, you know, so I sucked myself into that, which was just beating myself up. I mean, I just... It was horrible. But I was still surrounded by it all. I was still around the, you know, I gravitated towards it. Even though I wasn't doing it, I was still gravitating towards the scenes, the chaos, the abuse. It was all there. I mean, it's no different. I mean, it was all there. And then, you know, like I said, I met Hillbilly. I do love him dearly. Still do. I still check on him. He's still drinking and drugging as well. And I'll never say an ill word about him to his son. I just pray for him every day because, you know, he's a good person. He just has a fatal disease. And unfortunately, he's probably going to die with it. And it's sad. It's a real sad thing. I've lost a few friends to this disease. After we split up, then I wound up with a couple of more issues, and some people, you know, rented out the back of the house, and next thing you know, I just wound up with all kinds of nonsense happening, and I'm sitting there again, you know, with just drama, and the child I have now, I'm in the middle of a battle with, you know, the county, just from accusations, and that did it for me. That sent me sideways. That was it. I think that literally shredded my soul in half, and suddenly my will to live and fight was gone, and there was nothing left for me to sink myself into or to run and hide from, and I started drinking beer. Started drinking beer and working and drinking beer when I got home. And then the DWI. But you know what? I never... Oh, you see, this is the part where that cluelessness comes in, where, you know, you just don't get it. Well, I never got it that the DWI ever came from drinking. No. That maybe I drank too much. Nope. This is how, you know, an alcoholic's brain, or a brain that's not working properly, justifies things. And it thinks, you know, it malfunctions. The isms is amazing. It's just totally amazing how, you know, I have become my own worst enemy from way back when and don't even know it. And I can help anybody. I was there for everybody and anybody. And I was Miss Dependable for everybody. But I was just killing myself. And by being around people that they didn't care about me. They just cared what I could do for them. And that's the kind of people. I hung around swine. Swine. The party at my house. Swine. And I just allowed myself to be shredded to pieces. And it was nobody's fault but my own. And I see that now. That was what I did. No different, you know, no different. I was killing myself. And then slowly the drinking came into my life, and it did. You know, I slowly got rid of the people and replaced it with the alcohol. That's what I did. And so here comes the alcohol, nice and slowly. You know, it creeps in there, the silent killer, that silent partner, you know. Silent partner that slowly does a hostile takeover. You don't even know it. Yeah, well, so I get my DWI, no big deal. I pay the fine, blah, blah, blah. And I'm still working and drinking beer. But, you know, because of the DWI, I'm sorry, because of the DWI, I'm like, I can't do beer anymore. I did something wrong. Well, you know, I'm going to bars to come, you know, go play some pool. I don't really, you know, I didn't mingle too much. I don't, you know, I never really dated. I'm not the pickup person. I don't mingle in bars. I just go there. I want to be left alone, play some pool, talk some smack, and, you know, other than that, I got my personal space. You got yours. Don't get in my personal space. I'm as friendly as you want to be, but just don't get personal with me. So then somebody invited me to try a beautiful drink called Captain Morgan. Well, that was it. It was over. Oh, my God. I found my new boyfriend, Captain Morgan. Oh. Me and Captain, we hung out. Oh, we set sail all over the place. That was... It was extreme. I went from barely drinking to power drinking. I mean, I could plow down eight of them in no time at all, less than an hour, and not bat an eye. This was good. And the thing about it is, growing up in a bar, and the soda, the carbonation, I loved soda. So, and that Captain Morgan just put that nice touch to that soda, and then just that bar atmosphere. Oh, my God. I'm in heaven. So, you know, I got another DWI. Oh, boy. Well, guess what? Where was my boyfriend then? He wasn't there to bail me out. Mm-mm. He's still back at the bar. Captain Morgan? Nope, nowhere to be found. He's still having a good time. I'm hanging out in jail. So I had to get rid of him. He's gone. He's dumped. He's not nice. He's not a nice guy to hang out with. So I gotta get rid of Captain Morgan. So now I got my second DWI, and I'm being threatened now. I'm gonna look at jail time. I got a good lawyer, so I'm getting out of this stuff. But, by the skin of my teeth. And, I'm still not dawning on, it's not dawning on me that alcohol is the problem. You know, it's not alcohol, it's, you know, it's the Captain Morgan, it's the beer, it's something I'm drinking, so I change over to champagne. And I lost my license, so I'm not really driving anymore. So I don't have to worry about that, and, you know, I move. I wind up in, another town, and, you know, for some reason, guess who I meet is the owner of this liquor store. And so now I can have my liquor delivered to me by the case. And this is awesome. I mean, it gets hand-delivered to my house. Woo! I don't have to go anywhere. This is cool. I'm drinking champagne. I love it. The bubblies. So, I don't have to drive. Everything's good. Now I start getting sick, though. I'm drinking a lot. And I'm starting to throw up. My gut, I'm bleeding. I'm in and out of the hospital. I'm thinking, you know, somebody's poisoning me. It's the bug spray. It's everything else but the alcohol. And I'm in trouble. I'm real sick. I've got intestinal issues. I'm in so much pain. It's unbelievable. And you know, I'm screaming at my doctor. My doctor doesn't know anything. Everybody's an idiot. You know, nobody knows what they're talking about. And I've got severe health issues. And you know, I decide to drive, and I get in an accident. So I get a DWI. And not good at all. But, I'm not really drinking, you know, I didn't drink and drive, per se. Not any bubbly, anyway. I just had a few beers and drove. But I got the DWI, which is probably a good thing. It was God trying to warn me. I wound up in an accident. I had a church jump out in front of my car. What happened was I got lost. I was trying to take a shortcut home through these back roads and got lost. And I was driving around for hours, and I was running out of gas and went into a sheer panic because I didn't think I was going to get out of the backwoods. And we're talking up in God's country in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I've got my son with me. And I finally, you know, I get out of the middle of nowhere and I wind up in an accident. I wind up driving up on this lawn and hitting a bush. So, you know, my higher power is trying to tell me, Marianne, you've really got to stop this nonsense. You know, I mean, all the warning signs are there. The physical aspect, God throwing churches in front of my car. I'm still not getting it. You know, here's this cluelessness. I still can't believe how clueless I was. It's amazing. It's amazing how the human brain works. So, I wind up going to jail. And, you know, I'm still drinking the bubbly and whatever. But I know, you know, I've got some time. It was about a year before, I got that DWI before I get to jail, but I know I was going, so I got a chance to prepare myself. And I knew there was a lot wrong in my life, so I knew I was going to do some self-inventory. So the time that I spent in jail, that's what I did. I worked on myself, and I did a lot of self-inventory. And I was doing step four and working on a few steps without even realizing I was doing the steps. But I'm not doing step one. I'm definitely not admitting I was powerless over alcohol or even that I had an alcohol problem or even that alcohol was anything of a, you know, nothing. I mean, that wasn't even part of a conversation. But I definitely was working step three and step four, big time, and getting to know God again, and just working on myself. And know that I gotta stop abusing myself. So I get better. I mean, there's no drinking in jail, and there's no smoking in jail, so I definitely get my health back. And I'm doing good, but guess what's, I rent a limo. I'm leaving in a snowstorm, mind you. Still, even though I did all the self-inventory, I'm still not getting this whole cluelessness get-go, because, you know, nobody in their right mind is going to get a stretch limo to come up a mountain in the middle of a snowstorm. But I wanted a stretch limo, and, you know, no, I wasn't thinking about anybody else or safety or nothing. I just wanted the stretch limo, especially with the ground lights and the Yahoo. And guess what? I get in the stretch limo, and what do you think I have in that stretch limo? Champagne. Of course. But I don't stick with the champagne. Because I say, you know what, I'm going to get smart. It's carbonation, because I did some thinking. The beer, the Captain Morgan, and Coke, and the champagne, they all had carbonation. It's carbonation that's killing me. I got to get rid of the carbonation. This is the brain on alcohol, folks. The brain with isms. So, I get rid of all the carbonation in my life. And I go to wine. But, okay, this is beautiful. Wine is glamorous. I can incorporate this with my food. Oh, I can have people over and dinner. I can talk about wine. Oh, this is the most glamorous thing I am doing. Oh, you know, different wines for different foods, and it's just awesome. And I'm not drinking during the day, and I'm not doing this woe is me thing. I wait for everybody to go to bed before I have my glass of wine. Well, this is not a glass. This is a huge, we're talking a gargantuous sized stein, a mug that, I don't know, I could kill a person with this thing. It is huge, okay? I could probably fit my head in this thing. And this is my glass for my glass of wine, okay? But guess what? Every once in a while, I still am sneaking some carbonation in. Because if I put some seltzer in it, I'm not really drinking a lot of wine, right? So there's that other justification. Well, folks, wine is not glamorous. It stinks. It is the most disgusting smelling stuff on this earth. It is just as bad as that skunk beer. It is gross. Well, okay, not alcohol involved, but almost 2 years later, I wind up with some other nonsense going on, and I wind up back in jail. And I'm upset. I am, because of the way it went down, I'm in shock. Now my soul is totally ripped out, completely gone. My soul is gone. I feel it's gone. I'm hating God for the first time in my life. I just hate. I am just so mad. I've never been so angry in my life, so hurt in my life, and just pissed. And I mean, I don't speak. I am just laying in this jail, and I don't trust a soul, and I'm angry. I'm not even speaking to God. I can't even express the anger I have that I had that then. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm not speaking. I'm not, you know, whatever. I'm just going to lay here, and I just can't wait to get out, because I'm just going to run off to the woods and just be by myself. I don't want to see people ever again. I just hate people. In general, I hate this life. And if I could, I would end it. I mean, not woe is me crying, I'm suicidal. It's just that I hate everybody. I hate. And I just, hate is not even a strong enough word for how I was feeling. So, anyway, after about a month, I would say, I finally open up and I say, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And I get an answer. I mean, God talks back to me. Okay, no, I don't hear voices. No, I do not have any history of mental illness. No, nobody slipped any drugs into my coffee that morning. But we start having a conversation. And I could give up just about anything. And I could. I could give up anything. And we're you know, having conversation and just going, we're going through all kinds of conversation, and I'm learning about fasting. I even talked to the pastor that comes into the jail about fasting, because I'm going to fast too. I'm going to strip my whole body and my life of a lot of things. And the subject of alcohol came up, and wham, it hits me. And I realize I cannot promise God I will never pick up a drink again. And it was the first time in my life I felt so powerless, literally over a decision I couldn't make. I mean, I was powerless sitting in that jail, and I was powerless over what had to happen. And I never felt so powerless in my life. And I think that was a way of him showing me what powerlessness was. It's kind of strange how God works in mysterious ways. And what's really weird is I'm sitting here sharing, and it just dawned on me. Believe it or not, sometimes when you share it, you learn more. But I think that's why I was meant to go to jail, was to learn what powerlessness was. And I think that's why it had to happen the way it did. So when God and I were having this conversation, and the subject of alcohol came up, I was able to tell him I was powerless over alcohol. So, I didn't know what to do. And I let it go. I let it go. I let God. And I'll tell you something. It was the most amazing lift I have ever felt in my entire life. I can't even explain the feeling that I had. It was the chaos, the anger, everything. Everything that I felt just 5 minutes before then was gone. And I there's no words to express when such a burden is lifted from you. And that's when I knew I was going to be okay. For the first time in my life, I knew that I was going to be okay. And that my relationship with God was renewed. And that I wasn't going to have the chaos and that drive to just go run and drink or any of that. I got to back up a bit because the wine stopped. I'm missing a whole entire piece because the wine stopped, and I stayed sober for a time period between the first time I went to jail and the second, because of the self inventory and everything else. I kept everything to a low roar, and I stayed sober for a time because I was going to classes, and then I stopped going to classes, and was hanging with a friend of mine, and he was sober for quite a long time, and but he worked. He didn't go to meetings. He worked. This is a part that is very important, which I totally missed. I extremely missed, and I don't know how, because it is very important. It was a turning point for me. And it was another part of me as to why I was angry. And the day that all of this stuff went down, where I was arrested for it was non-alcohol related, was I took off from my home and I went to this person's house because I depended on this person fully when it came to staying sober. And once again, what an idiot I was. Well, this gentleman who was sober, I believe for 28 years, well, the reason he was a dry drunk. He wasn't sober. He was a dry drunk. I know that now. It's because he sunk his life into his job. And when they closed that store up, you know, I saw the look in his eye. I, for some reason, I knew he was going to pick up a drink sooner or later. I just knew it. I seen it, that he wasn't as stable as he was. But I ignored that because I never knew the guy when he drank. You know, I mean, I never knew him. I only knew him as somebody who didn't drink, who never drank. And, you know, his stories of how he got sober and how long he's been sober, or dry drunk, I should say. So I said, wow, this guy knows how to stay sober without going to meetings and without working the program. Awesome. You know, and AA was going to teach me how to drink, not drink. So, I mean, I thought I had it made. I got tired of AA trying to teach me how to drink, and I wanted to be sober, and here was a guy that was going to teach me how to be sober without going to AA. But this is the brain on, you know, dry drunkenness. It's crazy how the brain will work. We try an easier, softer way, but we found it does not work. I am living proof of that. So, with all that, I ran to his house when all of this stuff was going down, and I ran to him. And so when I went into his house, what did I find? Him drinking, beer cans everywhere, and I picked up. And that was me being sober for quite some time, though. I was sober for almost for a few years. And I picked up, but I put right back down. I drank a beer and went to open up another one, and I said no. And I got angry at him. I cursed him out, and I left this place. Never to speak to him again. Never to speak to him again. And I think it was about a little over a month later, he was dead. He drank himself to death. 26 years sober, 30 days dead from alcohol. Found, he looked like he was trying to crawl out of his bathroom or whatever, and he was found on the floor in urine. Beer cans are all over the place. The place was a mess. Cats everywhere, and just a mess. Just a complete mess. What a way to die. And me, I never spoke to him again. And my last words to him were very, very not nice. not nice at all. And it took me a long time to deal with that because I didn't understand the whole dry drunk thing and the sober thing until I got into this program and I got a sponsor and I started, and I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. I think that was the first step. Like I said, I was working the other steps without knowing it, and blindly. And I'm kind of glad I did. But nothing was going to work until I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. Nothing. And nothing is ever going to work. And I've tried every other way. I have tried so many different ways. I think I've just explained all of them. And time again, they have failed. And I am just thankful that it was not me laying in that pool of urine with beer cans all splewed around me and dead, with my son having no place to go but being tossed around in some system. Because, I mean, I would be the one accountable for all of that. And how dare I even consider picking up a drink, especially I have children. How dare I? And, you know, I think about that stuff, you know. I would never think about putting my son in a car with a drunk, but I did. And I got in an accident. I could have killed him. I could have killed an innocent bystander. I could have killed kids on a sidewalk. I was a lethal weapon. You just, it's amazing what alcohol can do, and it's amazing how we think on alcohol, and how we think before we even pick up the drink. It's, I need this program, and I need to practice it. I need to practice this 12 and 12. I need it every day in my life. And I'm loved that I have it every day in my life, because I'll tell you where my life is now. Okay? The mess in that short bit of time that I did drink, the mess that I have created, and the damage that I have splewed all over the place, has taken me close to 10 years to fix. And finally, my credit, Monday, I am finally going to completely clear all debt from my name. God bless this program that I've been able to stay focused, even through all of the job loss, the way the economy is, my relationship, everything. I've been able to stay focused on my goal and stay in this program and stay sober through everything else that's been going on in my life. I am still plugging away at bettering myself, and I'm doing it through this program, through my higher power, through all of you, through my family here. I am doing okay today. Is my life perfect? No. Will it ever be perfect? No. Hell no. And that's okay, because I need a little spice in life. I don't want it to be perfect. I don't want it to be boring. I want a little bit of a challenge. And you know what? Because I'm in this program, I can handle that today. You know, not every little thing, I can't handle that. I need a drink. I don't do that. I don't do that today. I'm up for the challenge. And it's okay today. I'm looking forward to... There's always a way. There's always a way to deal with anything that is in my life today. And then my sponsor. You know, she said something to me that will forever stay with me. That misery is a choice. And that is the most powerful thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Because I can choose to be miserable, or I can choose not to be miserable. That is a choice I can make. And that I can pertain to anything at all. And that is the coolest thing about that statement. I can choose to be miserable, or I can choose not to be. It's a choice. And I choose not to be. Every single day of my life. Sometimes every minute I have to make that choice. Minute by minute, I have to make that choice. Because minute by minute, something else might really be giving me a hard time. I just got one heck of a blow. Personally, I'll bring it up. I'm still on felony probation for that DWI that I had way back when, back in 2001. And I was supposed to be getting off probation. I was looking forward to it. I had so many plans. And it set me back. It set me back. It definitely knocked a hole in me and, you know, knocked the wind out of my sails. But there's got to be a reason. There's always a reason for this. Always. Whether I see it right now or down the road. Like, I just seen why I went to jail the last time. For the first time, I actually seen why. I mean, that whole powerlessness. Because I felt powerless. Because I could not believe why I just landed there, and I did. I felt powerless over something. It was the most... I just did not understand how that could have happened. And I mean, I was still carrying around animosity. And I, to this day, I was still carrying around some animosity. But you know what? I gotta look at it. It wasn't about the people involved. It's about my higher power, making sure that I'm okay. And, I am okay today. There's a reason for everything. And I just have to have faith. I have to have faith in this program and in my higher power. That there's reasons I might not like them, but deep down, I will like them because they're for a good reason. I don't always have to understand why at this time and second, because I'm clueless sometimes. I have understood that. Well, I'm going to start ending this. I'm going to start closing this up because I know I've been chatting away here. It's been an hour or so. But I am doing okay today. Thanks to you, thanks to this program, and thanks to God above. I couldn't ask for anything more today. Could not. If somebody asked me, what do you want? I've got it. And I'm working it. I've got everything I need to work with. There's nothing more that I want. Everything I've got is all I need. The rest is up to me. And may God bless all of you. That's all I've got to say. Thank you. And Lenny, here you go. Here's the mic back. Oh, and guess what? My name is Marianne, and I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic.